Well, it was good to see Pat and Miss Robert this morning. Brother Robert and Miss Pat. They came out to the carnival last night, too. I went by and saw them yesterday morning. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and go to Luke chapter 9. Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 9. I love the Word of God, and there are some verses in the Bible that just make you scratch your head and get your attention, and I'm going to preach about one a little bit tonight here, one of those. And Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 9, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you again, Lord, for we can meet in your name, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst, and thank you, Lord, that we can sit here and sing praises to you and get excited about heaven, Lord, and just get excited about what you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, we got something to get excited about, Lord. It's something, Lord, that the world cannot take away. The flesh can't take it away. Nothing can take it away because you did it, Lord. Lord, now I pray, Father, as we open up the Word of God that you would feed us from it. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And feed us tonight, Lord. Give us something tonight. May we get something, Lord, that'll help us at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll help us, Lord, on this week to help us, God, to keep going. Help us, God, to keep our eyes upon you and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. This is kind of familiar. Said this, Matthew 8:19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another notice of his disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest with you. Can we be honest with each other? Amen. I didn't think that was very nice, did you? From the Lord, did you? I mean, the guy comes up there and he said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go first bury my dad. And Jesus said, you let the dead bury the dead. You come with me. That doesn't sound too sympathetic to me about the Lord. And we know Jesus is full of compassion. We know that. We know the Bible says in the fifth commandment says for you to honor your father and mother. This is the great commandment. It's prolong your days. We know that. We know throughout the Bible we're supposed to honor the father and mother. John chapter 11, Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus in the shortest verse in the Bible. I preached about it and said, Jesus, well. But this, Miss Rachel, let's be honest. It doesn't seem like the Lord's real sympathetic with this guy, does it? He said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my dad. I'll go bury him. And Jesus said, you let the dead bury the dead, you follow me. That don't sound right, does it? And we know the Lord's full of compassion. So we know, Miss Rachel, there's got to be more to this verse than what we're seeing. And I've searched a lot of commentaries and tried to find things about this verse. I've mused about it for years and couldn't really find anything. And I've been meditating on it and thinking about it for quite a long time and asking God to give me a message on some things. And I think He did about it. Let's say some things about it. Look at Luke chapter 9. Here it is again. In Luke chapter 9. There are a lot of what I call gotcha verses in the Bible. They're gotcha verses. And they're verses that got your attention. And this is one of them. Because when you look at this thing on the cover, it looks like the Lord's not being very compassionate or sympathetic. I mean, the guy wants to go bury his dad. And Jesus says, you let the dead bury your dead. You just follow me. That just don't sound right. We're missing something. Look at Luke chapter 9. Here it is again, verse 57. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That just don't sound right. And I want to give you some things about this. And knowing the Word of God, knowing Jesus is full of compassion, as Paul Harvey would say, now for the rest of the story. There's a little bit more in this than what you and I are seeing when you first read it. You know, Paul Harvey would give you a story about something in his famous radio say. He was the greatest commentator ever. And he'd give you a story and he'd say, now for the rest of the story. So what I want to do is give you the rest of the story on let the dead bury the dead. I want to give you the first thing I want you to notice about in our text here. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 21, it says this, and another of his, look what it says. Look what that word says. He is what? Disciples. I want you to notice the first thing is the person here. It's another of his disciples. Now the word disciple, it comes from the word discipline, where it comes from. And it means a disciplined one. And a disciple is someone that follows someone else. And it's someone that has disciplined their lives and dedicated their lives and disciplined themselves to follow someone. And a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you and I are His disciple, we ought to be disciplined and we ought to be willing to follow Him. That's what it is. This was not an ordinary deal here. This was not the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 where He deals with a sinner. This wasn't the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8 when Jesus was so tender with her and comforting her and saying, let him that is among you without sin cast the first stone. No, this was one of His disciples He's talking to. There's the person. And Jesus treats His disciple different than He treats that sinner. It's kind of like me. I treat my children different than I treat your children. See, I can discipline my child. I can't discipline Peyton. Brother Chris would beat me up. I'm not going to discipline nobody else's children. I've liked to in Walmart a few times, haven't you? I like to grab that Brad up and take him out back. Dr. Ruckman, funny, one time he was preaching, he was talking about he was in one of these stores and this kid was throwing them, having a fit, and the lady was trying to calm him down. And she said, and he was just going crazy, and she was going crazy, and he said, ma'am, do you want me to calm him down? And she said, what do you mean? She said, you want me to calm him down? You mean shut him up? And she said, well, I don't know. He said, I'll shut him up for you. You want me to? And so she said, well, okay. So he just reached over and whispered, he said, kid, if you don't shut up, I'm going to take you out in the back and beat you. I can't do that with other kids. I've done that a few times with mine, you know. Hey, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this was one of His disciples. Jesus deals with His disciples different than He deals with just a lost person. I deal with my children different than I deal with yours. Because He gave us some specifics about a disciple. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, I want you to notice the first thing about this text is the person that He's talking to. There's the person. Matthew chapter 16. Here's about some of the requirements of a disciple. Are you a disciple this morning? This evening, you a disciple? Are you a disciplined one? Are you following Him? Jesus gave us the specifics and the criteria. You want to be a disciple? Matthew 16, 24. Here it is. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You want to be a disciple, you decide to deny yourself, you take up your cross, and then you follow Him. Hey, that was supposed to be one of His disciples. Not only that, in the text, notice what it says. It said one of His disciples came unto Him and called Him Lord. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my dad. He called Him Lord. Hey, listen, if you're going to be His Lord, if He's going to be your Lord and Savior, aren't you supposed to do what He said? Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. There's the person of this man here. Number one, he's a disciple with the Lord. Next thing, he calls the Lord, Lord. And one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And Jesus said this in Luke 6, 46, and why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I mean, this guy was one of the disciples. He was his Lord. Listen, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, if you're His disciples, there's a different league. C.T. Studd, the great athlete that was a great millionaire and billionaire and gave all his money away to serve the Lord, said this. He said, if Jesus be God and He died for me, there is no sacrifice too great for that I could do for my Lord. When he said, hey, that was one of His disciples and he called Him Lord, I want you to notice the person. I want you to notice something else in the text. Here, there's the petition. Look, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 of our text. Here's what Jesus said. Luke chapter 9, verse 59, it says this. And He said to another, He said this, follow me. Follow me. He said another verse 61, he said to another, Lord, I will follow thee. This is what the Lord is petitioning them. This is what he's asking them. This is his request. It's just, hey, follow me. You know what? That's what he's asking every one of us today, to follow him. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of Christ. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone that follows. You know what you and I are? We're Christians. You know what that word means? A follower of Christ. There's the petition, Lord asking. He said, hey, follow me. I think that's the most reasonable thing in the world. If you're saved tonight and you've been saved and washed in the blood in Jesus Christ, died on the cross of your sins, the most reasonable, logical thing you ought to be able to do is follow him. There's the petition. Jesus Christ asked him, follow me. That word, that phrase, follow me, occurs 25 times in the Gospels. 25 times. Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, follow me. John 12:28, if any man serve me, let him follow me, follow me. There's the petition the Lord asked. There's the person. This was one of his disciples. This is a man calling him Lord. There's the petition. And Jesus Christ said, hey, follow me. If you're saved tonight, you're a Christian, you're a disciple, you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be following the Lord. That's what this church is about, following the Lord. We go out to the carnival last night. You know why we were doing that? Trying to follow the Lord. Trying to make a difference. There's the petition. There's the person. There's something else I want you to notice in the text. Look at Luke 9. Luke 9, and he said to another, follow me, and there's the word but. But. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell at my house. There's what I call just the billy goat, the but. I mean, I've talked to Christians many times, and people in this church even, I said, well, let's go out on the street or come to a Thursday prayer meet. I would, but. There's that old but all the time. That but just keeps showing up and getting in the way. There's what I call the postponement. There's the person, there's the petition, follow me. And then there's that postponement. He just holds off. You know what I've seen through the years that I've been saved for 45 years and preached for quite a few and seen Christians all through churches? You know what I've seen? I've seen when somebody wants to serve God, they're willing to serve God, they'll get up and do it. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to plead them. You don't have to babysit them. I've seen that. And throughout the years, especially when I first started pastoring, getting started, I visit some people. And after a while, you know what I realized? I realized that people that are going to do something for God, they'll do it and get going. You know what this fellow did? There's the postponement. There's the person. He was a disciple. There was that petition. The Lord wanted to follow it. And then there was a postponement. He said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. People that is disciples, they're real disciples. You know what they do? They follow him. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 4 and go to Matthew 9. Matthew 4. There's the postponement. There's the person there. There's the petition God asked him. The Lord asked him, said, follow me. That's the most logical thing in the world, to follow Jesus Christ. Who in the world that's saved would not want to do that? But instead of saying, okay, Lord, but let me first go bury my father. There's a postponement. Look at Matthew 4. Now here's the right way. Here's the way we're supposed to respond when the Lord calls us to follow him. And he's called everybody here to follow him, by the way. Look at Matthew 4:18 says this. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. Watch it. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And look what it said. But they said, hey, we can't go. No, it is that. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway, immediately. There was no buts there. There were no arguments. There were no excuses of the Lord. Straightway means immediately, right then and there, they left their occupation. They left their fishing nets and they followed him. This other fella, you know what he did? He postponed it, put it off. Look over there and look further down, Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 20. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the ship of Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Watch this. And they immediately, there's no buts, no arguments, no excuses, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They left their ship, left their occupation, and left their father and followed him. And that's what the Lord's looking for. There was no postponement there. That other guy, he said, but, let me first go and bury my father. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. There's the postponement. There's the person. He's supposed to be a disciple. He called him Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Here's another one. Here's Levi the publican, Matthew, called Matthew too. Matthew 9:9, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he says unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. No arguments, no buts, nothing there. That's the way we ought to be responding to the Lord, following him. There ought to be nothing in the way. Straightway they left their nets. Our nets ought to not get in the way. Our ship ought to not get in the way. Our family ought to not get in the way. Nothing ought to get in the way from following the Lord. They immediately followed him. But this other fella, he postponed it. He had an excuse. You heard that saying, he that is good at making excuses, it's seldom good for anything else. You heard that song, excuses, excuses? You'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply you from church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks from following him, he offers them excuses. Well, in the summer it's too hot, in the winter it's just too cold. In the springtime when the weather's just right, well, I got to find some other place to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just hang around and hope and kind of hope that some of the kin folks will drop in. I've had people say, hey, I couldn't come to church. The kin folks drop in. Hey, just say, well, look, we're all going to church. Well, the church pews are too hard and the church seems way too loud, but you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. The doctor told you, no, you better watch those crowds. They'll set you back, but you go to that old ball game because you know it helps you to relax. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But by work time morning, Monday, well, you're feeling quite all right. Well, one of the children has a cold pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, that whole family had to stay home just to blow that old kid's nose. We used to sing that with our kids. We'd blow one of them's nose. Well, the preacher, he's too young, or maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're not hard enough, or maybe they're too bold. His voice is much too quiet, and sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's just too proud. Well, the sermons are too long, or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach with dignity instead of stop and snort. While the preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. Why, one of the ladies told me the other day, well, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Hey, you know what that fellow was? He is good at making excuses. Follow me, but, okay, Lord, but. You say, yeah, but preacher, you're missing this. This guy was just wanting Miss Martha to go to his daddy's funeral. That's all he wanted to do, Miss Rita. You're missing it, preacher. He just wanted to go to the funeral and bury his dad. That's all he wanted. Couldn't you give him a little slack? A little bit? That's what we think he said, isn't it? But that's not what he said. That's what we think he said. Because that's where our Western mind. I was looking at one of the commentators, and Dr. Adam Smith, who was an authority on the Middle East, under this verse, tells of one incident where he wanted to hire an Arab guide. He explained where he wished to go and was told of a young man in a certain village who would be an excellent guide. Dr. Smith went to the village and asked the young man to be his guide, was told, and the young man told him, said, I first have to bury my father. And there in front of his hut was his old father, as hale and hearty and working as you please. What the young Arab really meant was that he could not leave because he is going to stay there and wait till his daddy died. And that's what this guy's saying right here. He's not saying, I'm going to a funeral. He said, I'm going to wait here and I'm going to stay and postpone this thing and I'm going to bury my father. Oh, when they start just postponing and asking, making excuses, there's nothing left. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, there's that other fellow, verse 61, Luke 9, 61. Says this, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first... There's another postponement. Go bid them for farewell, which are my house. They're just trying to get away from it. They're not like they were in Matthew 4, immediately left their nets. And Jesus said to them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what he expects you to do? He expects you to go and not postpone it, to go. Not making excuses. Too many times, you know what we do? We make excuses. We quit too easy. Brother Lester Roloff, he is one of the great preachers and evangelists. Now, he's amazing. He went home to be the Lord in 82. Man, we sure do need that old preacher, man. That was a real deal. Went home, died in a plane wreck, you know. Brother Roloff was preaching a revival. I heard him talk about this on the radio. He was preaching a revival when his daddy died, his father here on earth. He is saved. He led in the Lord. He took him a long time. I've heard him talk about it. And his father died and had a funeral. Brother Roloff was preaching a revival. And Brother Roloff didn't leave the revival to go to his dad's funeral. He stayed there and preached the revival. And I heard him say it on the radio talking about that. He said, I couldn't do anything for my dad. He'd go home and be a Lord. No, you still. He said, God called me to preach the gospel, so I was going to stay there and preach the gospel. And he said on there, he said, you know my blood brother Elmo, whatever his name was, and my sister, he said, they never forgave me for that. But you know what? He did the right thing. You know what a lot of people do? They postpone it. Brother Roloff knew what was an important thing. Sometimes we just quit, and postpone too easy like that guy. He's looking for a way out. Sam Jones, an old Methodist preacher, they used to have services and they call them quitting services, quitting calls. We ought to have a quitting call here maybe, Brother Chris. And they're old time Methodists. They believe being holy, man. They believe living right with God. And they'd have altar calls and they'd call them quitting calls. And people would come down the altar and quit things. They come there and say, I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit chewing tobacco. I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to quit being mean. I'm going to quit being lazy. I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that. And they'd come to the altar and lay their quits down there, you know. And there's one guy down there praying one time, Brother Sam Jones said, what are you going to quit? He said, I'm going to quit quitting is what I'm going to do. You know what some of you need to do? You need to quit quitting. Get back in it. Quit postponing everything. And get back with it, all the buts in life. There's the postponement. There's this person. There's a petition. And now I'm getting to the message. I'm going to give you the message now, see. I'm going to give you the problem. See, there's a problem in these verses. And there's a big, big, big problem in these verses you may have missed. And it's the same problem every one of us has. It's the same problem that every Christian on this earth has, a problem following the Lord. It's the same problem we all have. It's found in these verses. See, there was the person. There was his petition. The Lord said, follow me. There was that postponement. But here's the whole problem with this verse is right here. I'll show it to you. Look at Luke chapter 9. See, this is the problem. This is your problem this morning. This is my problem this morning. This is every Christian that quits problem. Here's the problem. Luke chapter 9 verse 59 says this. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer. Notice those two words. Me first. Those are the two words that'll get you in trouble. Those are the two words. Me first. That'll take you out of the will of God. Those are the two words that'll keep you following Jesus Christ, doing the right thing, doing the things you know. Those words right there. It's me first. Look at the next verse. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. Me first. I'm going to tell you, the thing that'll get you in trouble is me first. I preached a message here a while back. The Christian's greatest enemy. And their greatest enemy is me. And when it becomes me first, there's no way possible you can follow the Lord when you're first. Because if you're following Jesus, you got to be behind Him, right? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you're following Him, He's in front of you, right? If you're following Him, He's first. You're behind Him. And you know what a lot of Christians do while they don't follow Jesus Christ? You know what that guy's problem was? It was me first. It's not about me. Listen, if it becomes me first, I could never do anything for God. You'll never follow Him as long as it's me first. Following Jesus Christ should be your top priority in your life. It ought to be your top priority. When it becomes me first, Jesus Christ is not first. John chapter 3, verse 30, John says this. It says, He must increase, but I must decrease. It must be Him going up, me going down. If I go up, He goes down. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. But it's Christ that liveth in me. It's not about me. It's not of me first. We're in the me generation. They got the Me Too movement and the me movement. All that kind of stuff. Brother, that Bible's clear. It ought to be Jesus Christ ought to be first and foremost above everything. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I've given you that before, that word joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. Jesus first, others second, you last. I want to say the problem with that fellow, I'll tell you what it was. Problem with that other guy, both of them there, I'll tell you what it was. It was those two little words, me first. When it becomes about me, you know what? You won't tithe. You won't do the things you know. You won't witness. You won't pray. You won't read your Bible. There's always something that'll get in the way. Always something. When me becomes first, that's where you get in trouble. You'll never follow the Lord Jesus as long as me's first. Because if you're following Him, He has got to be in front of you. He's got to be first and you're behind Him. But this fellow said, hey, it's me first. Revelation chapter 2, that church in Ephesus. Jesus said about that church, He goes through it. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He said this, because you've left your first love. I love my wife. And Miss Liz, you were right on the money this morning when you said that's a woman of God right there. That's the real deal. Put your hands over your ears right now. You know this woman? She reads her Bible every morning. Not for a few minutes. I mean, she's in there an hour reading her Bible. She'll read it sitting in her recliner in there. And then when she gets through there, she'll go sit in the bed and read it to Sarah out loud for about 30 minutes. And Sarah will say, Mom, are you through? Mom, are you through? Hey, she's a real deal. First day we went out, I told you, passing out gospel. God gave me a jewel. I love my wife. I love my children. But listen, they are not my first love. It's not them first. It's Him first. I love my little grandchildren. Oh, man, I love them kids. They're amazing kids. Smartest kids in the whole planet, Miss Martha. I saw a man down at the carnival last night. And he had a little boy in his holding him. And you could tell that was his grandchild. Yeah. His name was Braden. He was 18 months old. And he is holding on to his papa, had it right around his neck. And that man was just glowing, man, oh man. And I said, let me guess. That's your grandboy. He said, it sure is. I said, what's his name? He said, Braden. I said, how old? He says, 18 months old. I said, how many you got? He said, this is the only one right now. He said, we got six kids. We only got one grandkid. And man, you love them grandkids. That's why their grandkids over there, children's children of the crown of old man. Man, we love them kids, but I'm going to tell you, my grandkids, they're not first. They're not first. He's first. He's the first love. He's the number one. I'll tell you the problem that fella had when he became me first. When anything gets above the Lord, that's when you get a problem. There's the person. It was his disciple. He should have known better. He called him Lord. Suffer me first to go bury my father. There's a petition. All Jesus asked him, do follow me. That's what he asked us all. There's the postponement. A guy kept wiggling around it. Wiggling around it. And then there's the problem. It's me first. It's all about him. It wasn't about his dad. It was me first. Give you one more. And then there's the priority. See, he was more interested in burying the dead than he was serving the Lord. Let me tell you, I'm not here to bury the dead, okay? I'm not here to bury the dead. I want to try, you know what I'm trying to do out there? I'm trying to raise people from the dead. I'm not trying to bury them, they're already dead. I'm trying to give them life in Jesus Christ. They're dead in trespasses and sin. He that hath the Son hath life. I'm trying to bring them up from the dead. I don't want to bury them. God forbid. This fellow, you know what? His priorities are all messed up. He's more interested in burying the dead than preaching the gospel. Let the dead bury the dead, Jesus said. I'm not interested in the politics of the world. Let the dead bury the dead. I'm not interested in impeachment. Let the dead bury the dead. Tell you what I'm interested in? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm interested in trying to get people out of the dead. You know, when I preach a funeral, some of you have been there. One thing I'll do, I'm going to preach the gospel. I've had people come to me several times through the years and they'll say, oh, Brother Terry, I want you to do a funeral or somebody's funeral or family. But they said, I want to make sure you preach the gospel. I say, you can count on that. If I get up there, two things are going to happen. Number one, they're going to get a clear presentation of the gospel. And number two, they're going to get an invitation. God forbid I'm going to get up in a funeral and not preach the gospel. Now I try to comfort the people. I try to, especially if it's somebody like Brother David, I know he's in heaven. I like to tell them how excited it is now he's in heaven and get their hearts and give them some comfort about it. But I want to make sure the gospel's coming. Because I'm not here to bury the dead. Let the funeral folks bury the dead. I'm there trying to bring people up out of the dead. That fella had his priorities messed up. Brother David Beard, I preached his funeral last September, been a little bit over a year. I think he went home to be the Lord September the 24th. And he and I, we fished a lot. You know, I led him to the Lord. One of the best Christians I've ever known, best friend I ever had on this earth, Brother David. Many times we're out fishing. And Brother David told me, he says, Brother Terry, he said, if I leave before you do, he said, I want you to preach my funeral. And he said, I want you to preach the hell out of him. And I said, Brother David, how about this? How about if I try to preach him out of hell? He said, that'll work. That'll work. This fella had his priorities messed up. He is worried about the dead more than preaching the gospel. He is worried about burying the dead more than following Jesus. He lost his priorities in life. You know what it started with? Me first. Me first. It's not about me. He said over there in Luke, chapter 9:59, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Following Jesus ought to be the top priority in your life. That ought to be the number one thing above everything, and nothing, nobody ought to be above it. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and Luke 14. Matthew chapter 10 and Luke 14. That ought to be the top priority. You know what that fella did? He had his priorities messed up. You know what happens with a lot of Christians? They get their priorities messed up. And that priority always normally comes start when it becomes me first. Me. Because most Christians, they know what to do. They know to pray. They know to tithe. They know to do the things of God. They know that. I mean, if they got a brain, they know it. They just don't do it. You say, why? Me first. I can't afford it. It's about me. Me, preacher. Me first. But it's me. That's the problem. Priority ought to be following him. You know what to do. Do it. Do it. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Here's what the Lord said. I like this. I like this. I like these verses. Matthew 10:34. He said this. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. A sword. Watch this. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Variance means that they're fighting. Variant. bears against the father, and the daughter against the mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's pretty plain. If you think more of your son, your daughter, your grandkids than Jesus Christ and love them more, he said, you're not even worthy of me. You know what that fella did? He had his priorities all messed up. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? Their priorities all messed up. They've lost their first love. That priority ought to be following him. It ought to be getting the gospel out. Look at Luke chapter 14. He's even stronger over here. Luke chapter 14. I didn't say that. I like those verses. I understand them. If you're saved and love God, man, those verses ought to ring and say, hey, man, that's good stuff. Yeah, I love him more than my son or my daughter. I love him more than my wife or my husband or my kid. Yeah, amen, that's right. But you know, a backslidden Christian or a lost person, they read that and say, oh, man. But a Christian right with God, you say, amen, that's what that's about. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26. You know what that fella he had? He had his priorities messed up. You know why? He put me first. Me first. Start postponing. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Here's what the Lord said about this. He even stronger here. Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's plain. And Jesus Christ said, hey, if it come between your mother and your father or anybody else that gets in the way between me and you, he said, hey, you just can hate them, but you better follow me. That's what happened to Vince Victor's. That's what's happened to some of the Cleghorns. That's what had some of these Christians. I know they've had to leave their kids, leave all kind of things, and follow Jesus Christ because they had their priorities right. I understand that verse. I'm with it. Amen. That's good stuff, Lord. If you're saved, listen, you ought to understand that. Because he's your first love. Nothing gets in his way in my life. I don't want anything like that song, nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's elusive dream. I have renounced all hidden pleasures. There's nothing between the Lord and my Savior. He got his priorities messed up. He got his priorities messed up. I told you I was thinking about this message, and one thing kept popping up to my mind. I told you before, but it kept coming up when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that man saying, hey, let me first go bury my father. And I was thinking about that verse over there, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy to be my disciple. And I got thinking about Blake Smith and Kim and Jim Smith, that little boy that was 19 or 21 years old or whatever in Bible school. Y'all remember it all on the news, and they found him drowned in 6 inches of water. I mean, they loved that kid, and they prayed for that kid and brought him through Mountain View Baptist School, and he's called to preach and preaching and love God and serve God and all that stuff. And I mean, it was wonderful, this two couple. I mean, these couple, Kim and Jim, they loved the Lord as much as anybody I've ever met serving God and dedicated their kids to the Lord. And he drowns in 6 inches of water in a freak accident. God could have stopped it. Jim Smith and his funeral got up and said this. I heard it on the internet. He said, if God the Father loved me so much that he sent his son down this earth to die for my sins to keep me out of hell, he said, the least thing I can do is give up my son to get some people out of hell. You know what that fellow's got? He's got his priorities in the right place. He's exactly right. Brother David's Beard's funeral, Kim Smith came here. Blake Smith's mother, Blake was good friends with Brother David's grandson, and she was here for the funeral, and she sat back in the back there after the funeral. We had some food and stuff, and she sat back there talking about Blake, and she talked about how God has used him with his death. And she wasn't mad at God. She wasn't mad. You know what she was doing back there, Miss Rachel? She was praising God and giving God the glory that he felt worthy enough to take her son like he did, that God could use the death of her son to get the gospel out. And I'm telling you, the glory of God was all over that lady. She was beaming. You know what she had? She had her priorities in the right place. That fellow in there, you know what his problem was? me first. Me first. Had his priorities all right, wrong place. Kim and Jim over there about their son, you know what they had? They had their priorities in the right place. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord.